Hello and welcome to Legends of the Dark Knight, episode 28. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this adventure into Neo-Gotham is...
DFD and Mike, hello.
Hello!
How are you?
Good. We once again enter the land of Neo-Gotham City.
Yes. And I suppose we gotta take this time to talk about a couple of things. Damian's getting his own movie.
Yeah, I don't care one way or the other.
I just wish they would have chosen a different thing to adapt for this new 52. Because the DC Universe animated films are now delving into the new 52. Justice League War and Damian, Son of Batman are the next... next two films to come out this year, and War looks interesting. War looks cool. I don't know. I just wish they would have picked something else other than that stupid kid. Let's see what else is going on. We're knee deep into Batman Beyond. It's going pretty good so far. We've got a couple of episodes coming up today, but overall, I'm still really enjoying the rewatch for this series. I mean, it's a good series overall, but I didn't realize how much I was going to enjoy it. And there are a number of BTAS episodes I love, but overall, I think I enjoy the continuity here more than I do there.
Well, I think that it's more cohesive here.
Yeah.
Whereas you get into Batman the Animated Series, it's kind of hit or miss.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a lot of standalone type storylines in Batman the Animated Series, whereas in Batman Beyond, it is separate, but it's still more of an overarching storyline.
Yeah. Because we're seeing that Terry is learning as he goes. So, that's a interesting thing. And it's going to be interesting once we finish this show and we start the Batman Beyond Universe, Batman Beyond Unlimited / Universe coverage over in the pull bag, because it's a direct continuation after this series ends, and it is amazing. So, there is that. Oh yeah, and for anyone who doesn't know or listens to this show and doesn't read comics, they are bringing Terry into the new 52 with Future's End. They're going to give him a new 52 origin over there at DC for comics. The good thing about this is that it's not going to infringe upon the 2.0/ universe comics that Kyle Higgins is writing and Tony Silas is drawing, so at least it's not going to... At least DC isn't going to do something stupid and say, hey, we're going to end it here so we can actually just use the new 52 version from now on. So thankfully they're not doing that.
I would have to slaughter them.
I'm about to. I've made my opinions widely known, not, you know, my usual cursing self, but I am very... Right now, I'm very, very upset with DC for a number of different things, and I'm actually looking into other comics that I want to read that are not have nothing to do with DC, like stuff from my childhood that's coming into the comics. Okay, well, Dexter wasn't really my childhood, it was my teen years, but IDW is doing a Dexter thing, and they're going to be bringing back Rocky and Bullwinkle to comics. I'm not too thrilled with DC Comics right now as far as the comics go at all. Batgirl and Nightwing are the number ones for me, but they're just not. Whatever happens with this new creative team on Nightwing, I don't know. But anyway, back to Beyond. Beyond is still... There are, like I said, there are bad episodes, and we'll get to a couple of them today, but... As you said, it is very cohesive. It is very... I would say it's almost linear because it's taking Bruce's past and molding it with Terry creating his own future as Batman. So...
Which is a nice touch.
Yes, very much so.
So I think without further ado, before we start going on a rambling tangent, I tried to mix the two words, we will get into the first episode of the night.
Yeah, we don't need any ramjits.
Who are those guys? Magma, Freon, and the 2D-Man. Who is this terrific trio? Tonight, we've got the exclusive inside story. Several months ago at the Bay Ridge Research Center, prize-winning physicist Dr. Mike Morgan, his fiancée Mary Michaels, and lab assistant Stuart Lowe were accidentally exposed to dangerous levels of radiation during a particle fusion experiment. We warn viewers that the tape we're about to show may be too intense for children.
Turn it up!
The result, their bodies underwent dramatic changes. Now, these heroes have promised to use their incredible abilities to clean up Gotham. The government has spared no expense in establishing their new base of operations, the Trio Tower. United in their war on crime, here comes the terrific trio.
Hey, Peggit, Magma Underwear.
Shway.
Yeah, it's great to finally have some clean, wholesome heroes that kids can look up to.
Huh, those guys are twips. Batman rips.
You think?
Big time.
How about an ice cream? My treat.
Sure. What's the catch?
First up is Heroes. This is the sixth episode of the series, and it, well, depicts the birth of a new team of so-called quote-unquote heroes, calling themselves the Terrific Trio, which sounds like they're trying to do Dynamic Duo, and like they look like the Wonder Twins with lava version of Clayface.
Do you want me to give the background on this now, or do you want me to wait till later?
What, with Magma, Freon, and 2D Man?
Yeah.
You know what? Just go for it.
Magma is a combination of the Human Torch and Ben Grimm the Thing. Freon is supposed to be Invisible Woman, and 2D Man is supposed to be Mr. Fantastic. This was their way of paying homage to the Fantastic Four. And the Terrific Trio title, they did that because there was an episode of BTAS called The Terrible Trio. And I'm saying this all from memory, folks. I'm not reading any wiki article. I'm just telling you from listening to the commentaries and everything else, but yeah, it's a Fantastic Four homage episode, even though it's the Fantastic Three here.
It's sad. Oh, man. Why? Why?
This episode is just, I don't know. It's just too weird. I did write down a lot of notes for this one. My first note was, so this is what happens in the future when DC and Marvel cross over. Batman versus the Fantastic Three.
Well, three heads are better than four.
Yeah. I really did enjoy Terry and Matt at the mall. I thought that was cool. And I almost wish there was a little bit more of Terry's family in the show. Like, I don't think they see them a lot. Like, I know for a fact, and Bruce Timm said this on the commentary for Return of the Joker, the only reason why that they put them in the movie was so people wouldn't forget about them. And I kind of wish that Mom and Matt were here a little bit more in the series. Here we go with the degenerating DNA.
What is it with that? Like, not to interrupt you, but I mean, like, honestly, that's such an overused element of...
Yeah.
It's just, at this point, why bother bringing it back up?
Well, see, here's the thing. Even though this series came before Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, there are two things in here that tie back to JL, JLU. There was an episode, I think, oh God, I don't remember which one it is. There's this exact same plot in JLU with a team of heroes that have these same powers, this same plot of degenerating DNA, and they're clones, they'll just make more, blah, 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 blah. The funny thing that I liked about this episode, what I noticed is, hey, look, a updated version of the Luther drill missiles from Panic in the Sky, the JLU episode Panic in the Sky. Waller sends, what's her name, Galatea, Power Girl-looking chick, to the JLU tower with drill missiles that look just like their larger versions, obviously. I think Mr. Terrific in the episode called them Damocles missiles, and it was LexCorp technology. Around, I believe it's the 1359 to 1406 minute mark in the episode, there's some pretty cool music before the general fires on the Terrific Tower. And that's the other thing.
Terrific Tower.
Teen Titans Tower. It's, God. You know, and this was one of those things where it's an average plot because it's your love scorned kind of plot, because we learn at the end that the guy that was helping them was originally, he did this all to be with the Freon chick.
Yeah.
She wanted nothing to do with him whatsoever. This is an episode of Batman Beyond I can skip. I like that they're homaging the Fantastic Four in some way, but this episode is just, it's not one of the worst episodes of the series, but I just was like, even though I took about 8 notes, I still was on autopilot when I was watching this. I'm like, okay, can we get to a good episode, please?
Yeah, I kind of have to agree with you there. I know I've been kind of a downer on some of the episodes of this show, but I like homages to an extent, like maybe showing the end of some of the Bruce's Rogues Gallery or... things like that. But when they're trying to copy, like when Marvel copies DC or DC copies Marvel, I kind of cringe. And especially when they're reusing the DNA's, you know, breaking down, like, because it's kind of overused and everything. I mean, we just had a few episodes ago Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
And his DNA did the same thing. So, I mean, it's like, you know, one is the future. You'd think they'd be able to actually prevent that kind of problem. And then two, it's kind of, it's just reuse. I mean, you're going to see the DNA thing pop up, I think, a couple more times in this show, too.
Oh, well, that's what this show is all about, is DNA.
No, and I understand that, but the degrading DNA.
Oh, yeah.
That's more so what I'm...
Well, according to the notes on the wiki page, it says that, so you know, Magma's fate is never revealed, and we're just supposed to assume that Freon and 2D Man are stuck in the ventilation shaft forever. So, technically, Batman didn't kill them, but he didn't save them either. So there is that. Not that I really care to see them. Because that's the other thing with this series is, sure, you have your mainstays. We'll get to two of Terry's mainstay villains, two more of Terry's mainstay villains later today. But you have his mainstays that are like Two-Face and and Clayface and Joker and, well, not like Joker, but you know what I mean. Terry has his own set of rogues that they created for him that always go to jail and get out. Like Mads, you know, when we eventually get to Mad Stan's always getting out of jail, always blowing stuff up, everything else. So I like that the series is setting up him to Terry to have these villains, but I'm glad they're also not allowing him to just have every single villain be a recurring one. Like, these three characters, I respect the homage to the Fantastic Four, didn't care for them at all.
No, and I kind of agree with you. I mean, it's they're ultimately unlikable characters.
Yeah. Yep. Jeff Bennett was 2D man, so that's interesting.
Learn something new every day.
Yep. For a second there, I thought one of the kidnappers' voice, I thought it said Don Henley, but it says Don Harvey. Oh, boy. And the production notes and the trivia stuff, they're all right. I've already mentioned about the Fantastic Four. I already mentioned about the ventilation shaft. The scene where Batman lifts the heavy machinery that has trapped him is directly inspired by the iconic sequence in Amazing Spider-Man Volume 1, Issue 33. Production notes. It's basically just reused animation, is all the production notes are. The third and final note was the design for the Terrific Trio's lab is later used for the generator for Gorilla City, Cloaking Field in Justice League episode The Brave and the Bold. I get that the producers and creators were on a tight schedule with doing this and doing Superman, and I believe they were still doing some, maybe one or two, they were doing Batman stuff because he crossed over with Superman a few times outside of World's Finest, so they had a lot going on, so I guess the reuse of animation helped. Like explosions and stuff like that. Overall, I would not recommend anyone watch this episode. I just can't.
I mean, I would...
Once. Maybe once.
Yeah, I wouldn't... There's some episodes of BTAS I would say definitely hell no, but this one, it deserves at least a watch.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get to the next episode after this.
Hospital. And from there, I've got a feeling it's going to lead to powers.
Doesn't take a detective to figure that one out. Yeah, the source is definitely in here somewhere.
Not somewhere. Right behind you.
You don't have to do this, Shreve.
But I do. And the name Shriek now. I'll show you why.
Kind of quiet out there, huh, boy? But you hear something, don't you?
get up.
No.
No!
It has been moved and seconded that Wayne Powers tender an offer to the city in order to expand into the historical district. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
The motion is defeated. Meeting adjourned.
Up next is Shriek, which is the seventh episode of Batman Beyond. It depicts the birth of the villain Shriek. After failing to impress Derek Powers with his new sound suit, Walter Shreve takes an assignment to kill Bruce Wayne, who is currently working to prevent Powers from decimating Crime Alley. However, after Batman presents Bruce's death, prevents Bruce's death and exposes him to the police, Shreve goes crazy and becomes the villain Shriek. Meanwhile, Bruce is hospitalized, so Terry must now stop the new villain on his own. Dun, dun, dun. I love this episode. It's absolutely brilliant. It really is. Now, I'm hoping I don't know. I was going to say, I'm hoping that people didn't adjust their iTunes, because the clip I used just now was the clip when Shriek turned his sound suit. I was basically showing off the sound design of the show, because what they did with this sound suit and the magnification of the sound waves and the lower ends of it and the silence and hearing the footsteps, this is some of the best sound design I've ever heard in anything. It was simply awesome.
Well, this whole show is awesome as far as like the music sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The music sounds, the sound effects. I mean, when Shriek first turns his thing off, you don't hear any music. You just hear the sound effects. And that's just amazing. It just is. The plot, I really do love the plot. I think it's great. I think it's a great way to set up a new villain. I love when when Shriek comes on the scene, Bruce says, "Not one of mine." This is so awesome. And Ace. This is one of the first times that Ace really is super featured. I mean, he's been featured before, Ace the Bat Hound, as far as like not liking Terry, but like the fact that he's in the car with Bruce. I love this episode. I mean, this episode is great. It sets up the villain well. It gives Terry a challenge that he hasn't had before, and this villain will come back later in the Batman Beyond Universe comic, the direct continuation from the series, and it's still amazing. What'd you like about this one?
Well, I didn't notice this initially, but in the Crime Alley scene, where Bruce is kind of going around the old police headquarters.
You didn't notice it at all, did you?
No, I didn't realize that there was a wanted poster of the Joker.
It's in the post.
Yeah, I was like, that is flipping hilarious. I'm like, that is awesome. But it's nice to see Bruce kind of preserving something that means so much to him and was the emphasis of his entire life.
Yeah, yeah. And I love how Bruce Timm and company do an amazing job with this continuity in their universe that they've set up, but we all knew Bruce was going to go crazy one of these days, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he finally did, but it wasn't of his own free volition. But I love that about this episode, is that they try to make Bruce crazy. They try to make him jump. you know, Shriek tries to, you know, Shriek keeps calling him Bruce and calling him Bruce, and in his mind, that's not what he calls himself.
I love that quote, though.
It'll be in here somewhere. I don't know where, but it'll be in.
I can't believe that quote. That's hilarious.
But that's my name now. Tell that to my subconscious. And again, Christopher Carter does an amazing job with the music because, okay, he blends it, but if you had gotten the original 1999 soundtrack, which I have, it's a lot of the tracks on there are from the show, they're from episodes, but a lot of them are really high, hard techno music, and there's two instances so far that he has really blended it well between the style of Batman Beyond and the old style of BTAS. The first style was in Rebirth Part 2 when Bruce says, "Welcome to my world," that ending crescendo of music. And here, he does it here at the end here when Bruce is like, "That's not what I," you know, the line. And it's just amazing. The animation in this episode was... The way that the animation was done with showing you sound waves, that was awesome. It looked really, really good how sound can be destructive. I mean, using sound as a weapon? I mean, sure, we all transform and, you know, love sound wave, but it's just one of those things where having a future Batman villain do it, I can't say enough good things about this episode. Really, I can't. What about you? Stop eating ice cream and talk, damn it.
I'm not eating ice cream. No, I was going to say that I find it funny that you not only get to see the origin of Shriek here, but this also kind of signifies what will be to come as far as, for one, he loses his hearing because mm-hmm. of the suit, which he eventually builds back into the suit, but kind of like in the Batman Beyond Universe comics where Terry has to wear the headphones to have his hearing back until it comes back. But in addition to the scene where, you know, Bruce is talking about, you know, the voice calling him Bruce or whatever. I think it's funny that he also wins another stockholders meeting against Powers to steal his company back. Yeah. And Powers is like, damn it. Like, every step of the way, somebody from the Powers family is trying to steal Wayne Powers back. And then eventually it ends up as Wayne Industries again by the end of the series. But I think it's hilarious that they're constantly trying to beat a dead horse. Like, Bruce is like, nope, screw you, I have nothing better to do with my daytime.
As far as continuity, Shriek next appears in the episode Babel, in which it is revealed that he has adapted his suit to allow him to hear, as you said, while wearing it, but his deafness otherwise remains. This episode also sets up the reason for Shriek's agenda: revenge on Batman. In the DVD commentary, and I knew this, Bruce Timm says that the boards of standards and practices wouldn't allow them to have Shriek explicitly tell Bruce to jump out of the window. As I said before, first time Ace helps Batman. Only episode to feature Derek Powers without showing any sign of his blight persona. And this is where the upside-down Batmobile premieres.
Yeah, I remember when you showed that to me originally. I thought that was kind of cool.
It is explained why Bruce Wayne never calls Terry Batman during his investigations, though he later does once in Ascension, likely because Terry publicly saved him from Blight. Yeah. If you're the only person that knows, you know, Bruce and Terry, if you're in a public place, you know, he's not going to call him Terry. He's just not. Let's see.
Well, Chris and it also has to do with the fact that Bruce thinks he is Batman.
Yeah. I know. Another interesting note here. Greg Berger was the voice of the computer.
Interesting.
Me, Grimlock, now computer, yay! Me,
Grimlock!
Alright, any other final thoughts on Shriek?
No, infinitely better episode, though.
Oh, yes, very much so.
So, I think it's kind of cool that they introduced a worthwhile villain for the first time into the Beyond universe.
Oh, yep. One of two that we will see today. All right, we're going to move on to the next episode after this.
You overfed miserable moneybags, why don't you watch where you're going?
You hear that? He needs some manners.
What he really needs is a bigger boat.
Is this a show?
Plank, right, and charge!
Than yours.
All the money in the world and not an ounce of refinement.
Your jewels, your watches. Please be so kind as to turn them over to us. And no cheap heroics.
Definitely something weird going on over there. People dressed up like playing cards.
Did you say playing cards?
Uh-huh. They travel in your circles?
Afraid so.
Well, guess I better go introduce myself.
No, please!
Come on, you'll have another one soon enough. And you won't have to steal for it.
Yeah, she earns hers the old-fashioned way. Hey!
Go, I'd say.
Sorry, love. This is why I came back to Gotham.
Who's it going to be? My husband or all these passengers?
Everyone! Into the lifeboat!
Everything all right there?
Fine, perfect. Except they got away.
We'd better reconvene. You should know who you're dealing with.
Be there when I can. I'm late for an appointment.
But I need to talk to you.
Big fight? I was watching.
I got this after-school job. It takes up a lot of my time. Too much.
Maybe you should ask your boss for more time off.
Not this guy. Him, you don't ask for time off.
So what kind of after-school job is this anyway?
Well, I do errands. Sort of. It's kind of hard to describe. What about you? What were you doing out there? How come you didn't go in?
Didn't know anyone.
New in town?
Perpetually. My parents move around a lot because of work.
At least you get to see the world.
Yeah. See the world and lose all your friends. You know what it's like being uprooted every few weeks? Never quite knowing what's going to be happening next?
I'm beginning to get an idea of what that's like.
Two of a kind. That's what we are. I'm Melanie. Melanie Walker.
Terry McGinnis.
What's wrong?
Nothing. It's just kind of quick, that's all.
With me, it's always been now or never.
Ever consider later?
How much later?
I could see you tomorrow night.
That'd be great.
Where can I pick you up?
Better not. Why don't we just meet right here tomorrow at midnight? Under the big clock.
I'll be here. That's all over now. Thanks to you and this job.
Don't dramatize. You two will be back together soon enough. And in the meantime, we've got to figure out how to stop this gang.
I gave them a lot more than they expected. They're gone.
They'll be back. We've got history, they and I. The Royal Flush Gang's been around a long time. They're a family. They bring in new members, sons, daughters, husbands, wives, as the older ones retire or go to prison. They think they're better than everyone else. The aristocrats of crime. Late again.
Or early, depending on how you look at it.
How I look at it is, the gang's going to hit again, and we've only got a few hours to figure out where.
You're sure it'll be tonight?
You've got something better to do?
Yeah, I do.
This is getting tiresome.
Look, if you had any proof they were gonna try something tonight, it would be different. But I'm not gonna change my plans because of a hunch.
Batman would.
Hey, I put my life on the line all the time. One night's not gonna make any difference.
One night always makes the difference.
I know what it is. You can't stand to see anyone going out and having a life. You want me to end up like you, alone. Mr. Wayne, those things I said, I'm sorry. This kind of thing ever happened to you?
Let me tell you about a woman named Selina Kyle.
Up next is Dead Man's Hand, which is the 8th episode of Batman Beyond. It depicts the first time that the Royal Flush Gang fights the new Batman. After learning that Batman is back in Gotham, the Royal Flush Gang returns to take revenge. Meanwhile, Dana breaks up with Terry, but he finds a new girlfriend, Melanie Walker. Unbeknownst to Terry, Melanie is actually the gang's 10. Now both of them must deal with their dual lives while trying to be with each other. Oh boy. I did really enjoy this episode. I did really, really enjoy it. I think my issues with Terry and Melanie will come up later when she comes back for a couple of times. But in this episode specifically, there was, you know, Terry and Dana did break up. Shut up, cat. And my notes for this one, yes, young love. I do really like, and again, Christopher Carter, he knows how to pull out the emotion and the music cues in the scene where Terry and Melanie finally meet up. That was a really cool moment. I really did love that. Sadly, I know where this love at first sight thing with Terry and Melanie will lead.
Jail.
Yeah, there is that. Terry gets a good lesson in this. One night always makes the difference. That's okay. Outside of not killing people, I would say that that line, one night always makes the difference, is Bruce's mantra.
And it makes sense.
Yeah, a lot of sense. It was something I did have a problem with this, and maybe you can explain it. I don't know. Wait a damn minute. You mean that Terry, in plain clothes, in the middle of the city where people might see him, can access a GCPD terminal and it has a bat symbol on it? Bullshit.
I have to agree with you there. I think that was a moment.
Yeah. Again, this will be in the post also, but I had another note about young love. I love the image of Batman holding 10, like the damsel in distress. I thought that was great. I really did. And the interesting thing is, Terry and Melanie are pretty much Bruce and Selena, you know, 50 years on.
Makes sense.
Because I really do love the compares to Bruce's old life and the way women would come between him and the mission. And I enjoy the story arc of Terry and Melanie as Batman and Ten. So, what did you like or not like about this one?
Well, I mean, I kind of had seen the whole breakup thing coming. I mean, that's that's one of those recurring things as far as hero characters are concerned.
That's why Bruce said it won't last. He'll be back with her soon.
Yep. that's that life experience, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
But that and I could definitely equate 10 to being Catwoman in essence.
Well. Like that type of character.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the Royal Flush Gang only in Justice League?
They showed up here, and then other versions showed up in Justice League. And Justice League, I think it's pretty much Justice League Unlimited. But yeah, that's where they started. Because again, I don't want to spoil this for everybody, but we're gonna have to here since it's here. Bruce says, you know, they're old enemies of mine. And if you've watched Justice League Unlimited, you've seen that there have been multiple versions of them. There was the version with Ace. There was a version with Ace in the future. And Ace in JLU is different from Ace here in Batman Beyond. But it was something that Cadmus and Waller had been doing for years. And that's everything in this series will eventually come back to Cadmus and Amanda Waller. And we'll get to that way down the line.
It will come full circle.
Oh, yes. Very much so. What else did you have?
Well, I, in addition to liking that, I don't particularly care for the Royal Flush Gang just because I see them as almost a throwaway kind of group.
Mm-hmm.
They're not bad. I'd rather see them than the Joker's gang show up.
Mm-hmm.
Just because something about them kind of rubs me the wrong way.
But
it's kind of a give or take, but I think it's kind of nice to see Terry basically following in Bruce's footsteps and how he reacts to 10.
Yep.
That apple didn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah, that's true. And as I already said, this is the Royal Flush's debut here in the DCAU, but they did exist before. King says the line, "We have all the time in the world," which is the line that George Lazenby also said as James Bond in On Her Majesty's Secret Service. While I loathe that film, I really enjoy George Lazenby as the voice of King here. And Olivia Dabo is the voice of 10, and Olivia Dabo is just simply awesome. She will actually come back and voice Star Sapphire, and she will be Morgan Le Fay in Justice League as well. I could have sworn she was another character too, but I guess not. So, but yeah, that's pretty much it for this one. I love this episode because it sets up, it's the beginning of Terry versus the Royal Flush Gang, and it sets so much up for the future. It really does, because I believe there's two other times in the series that Terry and Melanie have run-ins. And then, of course, later in the comic, in the current comic, Batman Beyond Universe, they have a very, very brief run-in at college. So, very, very awesome. Any other thoughts?
Nope.
All right. We're going to be moving on.
Boy, are you in trouble.
Terry, is that you?
Yeah, Mom.
Do you know what time it is?
I had to run some errands for Mr. Wayne. I'm beat.
I got a call from your school today. They said you were sleeping in class again.
Ooh, bust busted.
What's going on, Terry?
Nothing. I've just been busy.
Yeah, busy with Dana.
Your teacher said he sent home another demerit file.
I'll get it.
Hey, out of my stuff, Twip.
What are those?
Nothing.
Don't lie to me. They're slappers, aren't they? I've seen them on the news.
Mom, it's not what you think.
The lies, the poor grades, the unexplained absences. It's because of these, isn't it?
No, they're not even mine.
Then where did they come from?
I found them in the locker room at school.
Yeah, right.
Jeez, Matt. Mom, you gotta believe me.
I don't want to hear anymore. You're grounded.
So she'll let me out to work for you and go to school. Otherwise, I'm in solitary. Big time.
At least you managed to keep one of these.
Barely. I got a real problem here. She doesn't trust me anymore. And nothing I say is gonna change her mind. You got any ideas on how to play this?
Arch criminals I know how to handle. Mothers or something else.
Next up is The Winning Edge. This episode, well, it shows the effects of mass distribution of the drug called Venom. Now available through an instantly acting skin patch known as a slapper.
Yep.
Which, you know, everybody knows what it does. They're obviously illegal. But Terry gets to discover that multiple students from his school are using them to play sports. So, of course...
And the coach is looking the other way.
Yeah, well, you know, it's suspected early on that, well, it's Bane's fault. You don't look so good, though.
No. Lifelong effects of Venom have really, really... I'm looking at a picture of him on the wiki, and
He looks sickly. Looks,
yeah.
Joker got off easy.
Yeah, kinda. But I did like this, because they are... So far, we've had Mr. Freeze... We've had technically the Royal Flush Gang, specifically King, come back. And now we've had Bane come back, in a way. Throughout this episode, we see that, okay, so if it's not Bane, then who? And then Terry goes down this whole other path. Only to come to find out that it's Bane's assistant... what's his name?
Dr. Bane. Isn't it,
Jackson Chappelle, that's what it is.
Yeah. That one guy.
Yeah. But the funny thing is to me is that Jackson Chappelle is a very, very loose interpretation of Vandal Savage from Justice League. Like, if you look at him...
Yeah, it's a very... thin down, different haircut, but it's the same guy.
Yeah. That would have been a little bit more interesting. I don't think Vandal would have taken slappers, though, but...
Vandal doesn't need them.
Yeah, no, that's true. Any other thoughts on... Oh, let me see what I had in my notes here for Winning Edge. I know you don't particularly like a lot of the Jokers in this, but I do love the lead purple Joker, simply because it's Bruce Timm. Because he doesn't really attempt to be Hamill-like, but it shows up as, you know, Hamill-like. Now, I do want to bring this up, because we have a slight... inconsistency, and I'm glad that I found this now. One of my notes has that seriously, Dana and Terry are all the way back together already. Now, originally, The Winning Edge was aired 9th, but the production code was 5. So that's the thing with past episodes 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. The first four episodes after that, the production codes are all over the place. So these episodes could have happened in any order. And it just makes no sense to me that Terry and Dana would be together immediately after the events of Dead Man's Hand. So there is that. Let's see. Yes, Bane. Yeah, Bane got old as hell. It just, like, which it kind of makes me think, if, and I'm sure I could look this up, I don't know how old Bane was originally when he was fighting Bruce, but I do know that they wanted to make Bruce a little bit older than what he actually is here. But I believe Bruce is around 80-something, so if Bane is around the same age, wow, did they take two very different paths.
Well, not only that, but you have the fact that Bane's been using for so long.
Yeah, that's true.
That it's just destroyed him.
Yeah, that's very true. Anything else you want to bring up about this one?
No, but it's nice to see that that other ending to Bane's existence, basically. I mean, it's kind of a crappy way to live your life.
Yeah. Don't do drugs, kids. Just say no.
And it's funny that Jackson Chappelle basically looks like Bane without the mask.
Mm-hmm.
It's that I do find quite humorous.
All right, we're going to move on to the final episode of the day after this.
With this second report of a spellbinder hypnotizing citizens, the police have reopened the case involving Chelsea Cunningham.
Told you so.
Mm-hmm. Now suit up and get out there. Find out who this spellbinder is.
Actually, I was thinking of a different costume tonight. Hope you don't mind. Found this in the closet upstairs. Way retro. Who's DG?
Finally up today is Spellbound, which is the 10th episode of Batman Beyond. It depicts the first appearance of Spellbinder. Gotham City is overcome by a rash of strange crimes by seemingly normal people, each of them who claims to have experienced hallucinations after meeting a man dressed in a strange suit and a magic eye. Batman eventually meets up with this strange Spellbinder and discovers that even he isn't immune to this power, to his powers. Now Batman must try to discern the fact from fiction while battling this strange new enemy. Oh, man. Talk about a way to bring in a new villain. I mean, this guy is like, whoa. And the visuals. I love the visuals in this episode. The fact that you can't tell. Like, Spellbinder to me is almost like one of Green Arrow's villains, Count Vertigo.
Ah, yes.
You know, so very, very, very cool. Or if you remember, actually, to give it a Batman reference, Bruce and Talia in Ra's little dungeon there, and they were experiencing vertigo. That's what Spellbinder reminds me of.
Makes sense.
So there's that. Who's your partner in the spooky getup? I like that line. And I really do love the mystery and the intrigue in this episode, because we don't know who it is. And it was kind of a letdown to find out who Spellbinder really is, but the overall character is very interesting. And again, the music, so captivatingly good in this. What'd you like about this one?
Well, I mean, he's almost in essence like a scarecrow type character.
I can see that.
Just because he can kind of make people see what he wants them to see, and I mean, it's slightly different.
Yeah, he's not really working off of fear; he's working off of hallucinogens. But yeah, I see what you're going for.
But yeah, he screws with what they see. The design of the suit's kind of interesting, with the whole eye and the swirly thing all over his costume. I like the fact that you have all these people just kind of randomly throughout the series, and including here, just going bad. They're, you know, like, he's the, you know, psychologist type. So he knows people's psyche type thing, so he can screw with people easier.
Yeah. For a couple of the production inconsistencies, one of them is interesting. The lapels on Dick Grayson's suit coat disappear when Terry is wearing it. That's because that was one of the things that they talked about in the DVD set, is that how are we going to show people that this is the future? What thing can we do with the way people look? And one of the things was they got rid of lapels altogether. For trivia, we have first appearance of the man Jim Tate, who eventually becomes the villain Armory. Terry borrows a jacket that once belonged to DG, obviously meant to be Dick Grayson. He does wear it again in the episode Mind Games, coming up in a couple episodes of the podcast here. Chelsea's fantasy is an obvious homage to the opening scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark. The music playing when Jim and Lorraine are walking down the stairs is that same one when Bruce and Lois are dancing in Superman the Animated Series, World's Finest Part 1. When Terry is ensorcelated and ransacking Wayne Manor, he hallucinates being on a game show called Supermarket Spree. This lampoons Supermarket Sweep, a very popular cable game show that ran from 91 till 2005. Yeah, overall, I really love this episode because it... And again, that was one of the greatest things about this series. Not only... You have two things at work here. You have all the continuity of Bruce, but you have Terry, who is fresh and new, and they went ahead and created fresh and new villains for him. Yes, some of them are like Bruce's old villains. Like, Ink is like Clayface a little bit in her design and her the way she moves and stuff. But, you know, they didn't just update every Bat Rogue, which is nice.
Oh, I agree.
Yep. Let me see here. Dorian Harewood plays Jim Tate. Most people will know him as Dan Reilly from The Forgotten. BTAS episode The Forgotten.
Oh, okay.
And Ron Troop. He was a judge in New Batman Adventures Critters. In Static Shock, he was a warden. I mean, but Dorian Harewood has had more credits than just this. I'm just looking at the DC wiki here. Like I said, overall, Spellbound, really love it. And Spellbinder will be back, just like Shriek will be back. So, again, love that with the new setup of villains. Anything else?
No, not really.
All right, where are we going from here?
Well, I think we'll go to a quick break, and we'll be back with our final ratings and the closing of the show.
Ah, brave new world. A that has such putzes in it.
The Pullbag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join me, your host, TF2 and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comics we are reading. Inside the Pullbag, you'll also find back-issue classics and origins episodes of how we got into comic reading. You can find the Pullbag every Wednesday on iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pullbag today.
Oh, yes. But think of the fun.
And we're back on Legends of the Dark Knight. So, sir, what is your top five episodes of the night?
All right. Let's see. I have to put Heroes at the bottom. I really do. It was just there. There was nothing for... This is one of the reasons why I don't like them doing homages to Marvel stuff. I get that Bruce Timm and his company at the time were... And I'm sure Bruce Timm still is a Marvel fanboy at some point, but I just... No, Heroes was just... No, so that's last. I'm going to put The Winning Edge in fourth place. I liked it. I liked the continuity. I liked seeing what happened to Bane, even though it was creepy as all hell. I'm going to put Spellbound in third place because I enjoyed the new villain, enjoyed his powers, enjoyed all the visuals and the animation in that. Second place is Dead Man's Hand, again setting up a whole new bit of continuity for Terry and slight past experience for Bruce, and Shriek for the sound and the effects and the animation, and that new villain gets number one for me. What about you?
Well, I'd also have to put Heroes at the bottom because it's not very heroic to copy Marvel. yeah, I didn't care for that episode at all. That went down. it's my four and three are kind of a toss-up for me. Because overall, the episodes are kind of tied. I like one for one reason, one for the other. It's kind of... I hate it when I don't exactly know. I'm just going to do it for the sake of it. The Winning Edge I'm going to put as number four. Only because I didn't much care for the whole drug use slapper thing. I liked the continuity with Bane, and I liked the thing that the doctor did with the slappers and everything, and kind of doing the pumping the venom without actually having the tanks, but I just overall it wasn't as good. Spellbound, I put it my number three because new villain, new kind of way to screw with Batman using technology. So it definitely interesting. And then I have to say Dead Man's Hand, because like you said before, it's kind of that whole Catwoman Batman type thing again. And it further cements more of the kind of back and forth, you know, relationship of Bruce and Terry, of how similar they happen to be. And then I have to put Shriek at number one because ultimately I like that villain more than any of the other ones. He kind of reminds me of a walking Hardak.
That's because of the design of the helmet, yes.
Of the helmet and because the symbol on the chest.
Yeah.
So he kind of reminds me of Hardak. But I like the suit overall better than all the other costumes of the villains that have been displayed so far. In this episode, anyway. But it also, you know, for many reasons, is the dominant episode just because of, you know, the whole Crime Alley reference, the old GCPD building, the Bruce having the stockholder meeting, and then his referring to himself as Batman. And so, I mean, there's a lot of great points in this entire episode. So That would be my roundup, which basically is identical to yours.
Very cool, very cool. Okay, so coming up next time, I don't know, I didn't intentionally do this, but we've got an episode next week, or in 2 weeks from now, where episode 29 has the end of season one and beginning of season two.
Yeah, it just kind of worked out that way.
Yeah, it just kind of worked out that way. And if I reworked it, it wouldn't be as good as what we currently have now. So that'll be that. Anything else you want to talk about before we close out?
No, I think we can close it out.
All right. Go to work.
Thank you for joining us here on Legends of the Dark Knight. If you'd like to leave feedback on the show, there are many ways to do so. You can visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate our show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. We have none for 2014. Call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you were leaving the message for and your name. Become a fan of us on Facebook by searching Geekcast Radio Network. You can follow us on Twitter at LOTDarkKnight or at Geekcast Radio. My Twitter name is at SCP21 and yours is Sir.
TFG1 Mike.
Join us next time when we discuss Disappearing Ink, A Touch of Curare, Ascension, Splicers, and Earth Mover. So for now, I'm Steve Megatron Phillips with
TFG1 Mike.
Saying the immortal words of Batman, I am vengeance, I am the night, I am Batman.
If it ever does.
Tell me something. Why were you so sure those voices weren't coming from you?
Well, first, I know I'm not psychotic.
I hope your other reason's more convincing.
And second, the voice kept calling me Bruce. In my mind, that's not what I call myself.
What do you call yourself? Oh, yeah. I suppose you would. But that's my name now.
Tell that to my subconscious.